Mass live from St. Mary Cathedral in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Today is July 31st, 2022, the 18th Sunday of Ordinary Time. The Gospel is from St. Luke 12:13-21. Jesus was surrounded by a large crowd to whom he was giving his message of salvation. Some men in the crowd asked him to arbitrate in a family dispute over property. This Jesus refused to do. This interest in property gave him the occasion to teach his hearers and all of us in a very effective parable the relative value of this world's goods. The lesson of this parable is obvious to all, and it is perhaps as difficult to put into practice as it is obvious. To be in this world and not of it, to collect the necessary goods of this world by honest labor and yet remain detached from them, to possess but not be possessed by worldly riches, is an ideal to which our weak human nature responds very reluctantly. A large percentage of Christians, however, do respond to the challenge manfully and loyally. They earn and use the goods of this world while at the same time they keep God's laws and earn wealth for heaven. Our celebrant for the Mass this morning is Father Daniel Belkin, associate pastor of St. Mary Cathedral. Our musicians are the St. Mary Cathedral Choir, and our commentator will be Brian Holland, who will now lead us in song.
Good morning. Please make sure all electronic devices are silent or off, and please rise. This morning we will be using the service music from the Mass of Renewal. The Gloria can be found on page 34. 1,000 years in God's sight are as a single day. Let us praise God all our days. Please join in our entrance hymn this morning, number 495, Be Thou My Vision.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. That I best thought of by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence, my light. Be Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word. I have heard with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I love Son. Now in me dwelling, and I with me one.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And with your spirit.
This morning in St. Paul in his letter to the Colossians, we're reminded to seek what is above, to seek the things that lead us to the risen Christ. For all of those times that we've sought things that did not lead us to Christ and were earthly, let us now pause to acknowledge those moments and ask God for his mercy and his forgiveness. You were sent to heal the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy. You came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy. You are seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Servants, O Lord, and answer their prayers with unceasing kindness, that for those who glory in you as their Creator and guide, you may restore what you have created and keep safe what you have restored. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
A reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says Koheleth. Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. Here is one who has labored with wisdom and knowledge and skill, and yet to another who has not labored over it, he must leave property. This also is vanity and a great misfortune. For what profit comes to a man from all the toil and anxiety of heart with which he has labored under the sun? All his days, sorrow and grief is his occupation. Even at night, his mind is not at rest. This also is vanity. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brothers and sisters, if you were raised with Christ, seek what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Think of what is above, not of what is on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, your life, appears, then you too will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, then, the parts of you that are earthly: immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. Stop lying to one another, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed for knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grains and other goods, and I shall say to myself, Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry. But God said to him, You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus it will be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God. The Gospel of the Lord. During my years in seminary, I was one of the guys that was on the IT support staff. And what that meant was a lot of the time that I was working on computers, I was trying to restore things and work on them, but I was also giving out basic reminders and advice. And I remember so many different things, like one of the easiest to remember, turn it off, turn it back on. That one was really easy. But there was one that I had trouble getting guys to understand so often, and it was this. Back up your device. That there's going to come a point whenever that computer, that phone, that tablet is going to reach a point where we can no longer access the data on it. It's going to be dead and we can't get it back. But no matter how much you paid for it, there's going to come a time when it goes completely kaput and won't work any longer. And whatever data, whatever documents, whatever photos you had, they'll be gone with that device. And it highlights an important reality in life, that it's temporal, that it doesn't last forever. And so many of our goods and so many different things and possessions, they also are temporal. They don't last forever. And many things that we might value, whether it's prestige, positions, property, or even things and stuff, that we can value a lot of that and we can treasure it. But is it truly what makes us rich in God? And that's really what we're given to consider today, especially as the church gives us these readings and this gospel to consider. But first, we start off with the first reading from the book of Ecclesiastes. And this is a book written by Solomon, and it's a sort of philosophical work, meaning that it's going after the basic questions in life. And it's really trying to wrestle with it and tease out the answer, although in today's passage we notice there's really not a satisfactory answer, at least not just in that reading. So how does Solomon start off this work? How does he begin? Vanity of vanity, all things are vanity. But he's giving out this idea, this notion that everything is vain, or another way to put it, futility of futility, all things are futile, meaning all things are worthless. But what does he mean exactly by this? He starts to delve into one of the great injustices of life, that there is a man who continues to work day and night, who continues to profit and prosper, and then eventually all of the stuff that he's amassed, all of the stuff that he's gathered to himself, it's gone. In a split second, it's removed from his possession, and it's left to someone who has far less skill, far less talent, far less ability to attain those things. And that's a great injustice in his eyes. But even more so, notice how much investment this person puts into all of these things. He spends day and night toiling over them. He's got all of this skill, and that he, even at night, will not let his mind rest. And he puts all of this energy into it, and yet it's still gone. It's a great mystery to Solomon, all of this injustice that's there, because he thinks that person's worked so hard. Why in the world is everything removed from his midst in one fell swoop? And he doesn't really give us an answer to that. But he tells us that all this is futile, this is all futile, that it's all worthless. But why? Why in the world is all of this taking our energy, taking our time, even taking our attention, and yet it's still worthless? Perhaps the answer is in the second reading. Because we see St. Paul in his letter to the Colossians, and he starts off reminding us, if you have risen in Christ, seek what is above. And it's a reminder to forsake all of the earthly things that we can pursue and rather look towards the things that are risen in Christ. And it's not just about physical proximity. It's not about us looking up towards heaven where we think it might be. But it's rather telling us how elevated our way of life should be. Because if we're rising in Christ and we're rising out of the baptismal font into new life, that changes everything. It changes our every aspect, our every aspiration. It changes what we should be about. And that's what St. Paul is reminding the Colossians in this letter. Because he doesn't want us spending time on things that don't matter, or even worse yet, start to take us away from God. And so he starts to list off all of these vices, these things that hold us back and anchor us to the earth. But he wants us to forsake all those things, to remove them, and to indeed start to seek after Christ himself. Because we're risen in Christ. Our way of life should be so much elevated because of that mystery and that beautiful reality that we're given. And so St. Paul's reminding all of those that are listening, especially the Colossians, to remove from themselves all earthly things and to rather seek what is above. And then finally we arrive at the 12th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And here we're reminded of Jesus and his position towards earthly possessions and even towards greed itself. Because someone approaches Jesus and they tell him, they have a simple request. Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. And Jesus answers in a very odd way. Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator? Who told you that I was going to fix that problem? But it's not just about that problem. It's not as if Jesus doesn't have the ability to fix it himself. We know that above all, he is the supreme judge. But here he's trying to tell them something important. That they're focused on something that doesn't matter, something that is unimportant in their life. That they're focused on greed and wealth and something that does not matter and does not last. And that's what he's challenging them to hear. Because it's not about his qualifications to judge this case. It's about the fact that it does not matter, that it should not be something that they're concerned about. And so Jesus is trying to push back and say, why don't we worry about something else? And so he starts off into this parable, and he reminds them of this story of a man who's got this abounding harvest, this plentiful harvest so huge that he can't store it himself. So what does he do? Well, it seems like he's doing something prudent, that he starts to tear down his barns and to indeed build bigger ones because he wants to store that harvest. But notice the disposition he takes. It's not of gratitude. It's not of simply going back to the Lord and giving thanks for what he's been given. But it's rather, eat, drink, be merry. Look at all of these things that I have to rest in. Look at all of these things I have to myself and how secure and how comfortable I am. But the Lord comes back, and he says, you fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. All of these things that you've amassed, all of these different things that you've spent your life accruing to yourself are going to be gone in a split second, because it is his time, his number has been called. And so he's reminding that person, and indeed everyone listening, that all of those things that he's spending his time and his energy and everything that he has amassing, there's going to become a point when it's all useless, it's all futile, it's a vanity of vanities, as Ecclesiastes reminds us. So Jesus is telling them not to be rich in those things that they think make them rich in the eyes of the world, but to rather be rich in what matters to God. What does this say to all of us? What does this encourage us to do? Well, first, if we move back to the book of Ecclesiastes, we're reminded of this person that's amassed all of these different things, but he spends a lot of time worrying about them. He spends even his night wondering what he's supposed to do to continue to gain these things, and even pondering his problems. But this raises a question for each one of us. When it comes to our daily activities, when it comes to living our day in and day out, our weeks, and all of the rhythms of life, what consumes our time? What consumes our mental energy? What has our attention and our focus at all times? What are we spending our time worrying about? Is it material goods? Is it possession? Is it property? Is it even the way that we're perceived by others? Because the reality is, all of these things that we can spend our time concerned about need backup. These things need something else because they're going to fail us eventually, much like any of our devices. And that's what we are concerned with. if we're concerned with those things, we encounter that same problem that Ecclesiastes was concerned with, that there's going to come a point when they fail and they aren't good to us any longer. And we're going to leave those things to others. But then we move on to St. Paul in his letter to the Colossians, and here we have the second point that we're supposed to consider. Are we concerned with things that lead us to what is above? And we're not just talking about going skyward, or we're not talking about going up towards heaven. We're concerned about rising with Christ. And so we renounce everything that holds us back and even anchors us to this earth. All of the different vices that we can encounter, whether it's greed, adultery, all of these different things that can hold us back in our life, that we should be renouncing those things because they impede our ability to rise with Christ and even approach the kingdom of heaven. So we aren't supposed to worry our minds and our souls about these things. We're rather supposed to give them up to the Lord and indeed allow ourselves to rise up with Christ to seek after the kingdom of heaven. But then finally we arrive at the gospel, and here is really the fundamental and important question that each of us should be considering this week. Am I truly rich in what makes me rich in the eyes of God? Am I truly concerned with my time, my talent, my treasure, all of the different abilities and talents that I have? Am I investing them in something that is going to last beyond this earth? Because so often in life we can be hindered by those things that might seem important, that might seem like they're big and prestigious, that make us appear really powerful on this earth, but in fact the very moment that our number is called and our time is up, they're all removed from our midst and they don't matter any longer. In fact, it might have impeded our own spiritual growth. But the challenge is really to renounce those things that take up our space for God, to take up our ability to approach the kingdom of heaven and indeed rise with Christ, and to rather renounce them and give them over to the Lord and seek what truly makes us rich. All of the ways that we can pursue virtue, all of the ways that we can pursue Christian values and our mission as Christians and brothers and sisters in Christ. Because that's really the challenge, not to look and see what the world values and what the world wants us to have, but to rather look towards the kingdom of God and to seek what truly makes us rich, not in the eyes of the world, maybe not just in our own eyes, but indeed rich to God the Father. It's often the case that those things that we need to back up, those things that we need to have a second copy of, they're not really the things that matter. But really, the things that matter are the things that we don't need to back up at all. The things that are virtue, the things that are Christian value, and the things that lead us closer to the gospel and closer to Christ and His Sacred Heart. So my brothers and sisters, as we continue this week, let's not pursue all of those different things that are vanity, all of those things that are futile and are worthless, that won't last past this life. But rather, let's look for those things that lead us closer to God. Not greed, not material possession, not property, not even positions of power. But let's instead look towards those things that make us truly rich, and rich in the eyes of God our Father.
Together, let us profess our faith. I believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth,
of all things visible and invisible.
I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God,
born of the Father before all ages,
God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary,
and became man.
For our sin, He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. With confidence and trust in God our Heavenly Father, let us now present to Him these our petitions.
That God protect and purify His holy church, that its work may prosper, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That our nation seek not to store up treasures, but to grow rich in what matters to God, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That every person recognize and resist the greed permeating our culture, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That those with bountiful harvests share their abundance with the poor and needy, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That our community of faith share its material goods and live by spiritual values, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
We remember Clyde and Alfreda Bonert, for whom this Mass is being offered. We pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for all of the prayers and intentions that each of us hold within our hearts this morning. For these prayers, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
God, our Heavenly Father, source of all grace, we ask that you hear the prayers of us, your people, and answer them in accord with your will. This and all things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. During the preparation of the gifts, please join in singing number 366, Loving and Forgiving.
Loving and forgiving are you.
brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father.
May the Lord accept the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of His name, for our good and the good of all His holy church.
Graciously sanctify these gifts, O Lord, we pray, in accepting the oblation of this spiritual sacrifice. Make of us an eternal offering to you, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is true, right and just, to be in our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks. Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. For by His birth He brought renewal to humanity's fallen state, and by His suffering canceled out our sins. By His rising from the dead He has opened the way to eternal life, and by ascending to you, O Father, He has unlocked the gates of heaven. And so with the company of angels and saints, we sing the hymn of your praise, as without end we acclaim.
Indeed, holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy, and you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
Please now show us the cup of Christ's blood to the shepherd's feet.
The mystery of faith. We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church in recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself. Grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May the sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Edward, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, to whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Through him and with him and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, forever and ever.
At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope in the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant your peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit.
God, you take away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world. Thank you.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold Him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
As people receive the body and blood of Christ from the altar, we invite you at home to join us in a prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, my Savior and my God, I desire to receive you now in Holy Communion, and since I cannot receive you now in the sacrament, I ask you to come to me spiritually and to refresh my soul with your goodness. Come to me and never let me be separated from you. I have said, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Please come and refresh me now. Jesus, may all that is you flow into me. May your body and blood be my food and drink. May your passion and death be my strength of life. Jesus, with you by my side, enough has been given. May the shelter I seek be the shadow of your cross. Let me not run from the love which you offer. Hold me safe from the forces of evil. On each of my struggles, shed your light and your love. Keep calling to me until that day comes, when with your saints I may praise you forever. Help me to be faithful to you in every way, that I may praise you forever in heaven. Amen.
There, Lord, for God's coming kingdom shall be theirs. Blessed are the sorrowing, for they shall be consoled. And the meek shall come to rule the world. Lead me, Lord, lead me, Lord, by the light of truth, to seek and to find the narrow way. Be my way.
Lord,
Will you join us in a prayer for all needs? We beg you, Lord, to help and defend us. Deliver the oppressed. Pity the insignificant. Raise the fallen. Show yourself to the needy. Heal the sick. Bring back those of your people who have gone astray. Feed the hungry. Lift up the weak. Take off the prisoner's chains. May every nation come to know that you alone are God, that Jesus is your child, and that we are your people, the sheep that you pasture. Amen.
Please join in singing number 466, In the Day of the Lord.
Let us pray. Accompany with constant protection, O Lord, those you renew with these heavenly gifts, and in your never-failing care for them, make them worthy of eternal redemption, through Christ our Lord. Please be seated for the announcements.
St. Mary's School Alumni Association is hosting the 5th annual golf tournament on September 10th. Sign-up sheets are in the bulletin. You are invited to spend a few minutes or an hour or two in prayer before the Blessed Sacrament next Sunday. Adoration will begin at 11:30 and continue until 5. Confessions will be held at 4 p.m. If you know anyone interested in learning more about the Catholic faith, there is information in the bulletin about RCIA classes this fall. Our recessional hymn this morning will be number 520, Joyful, Joyful. And now we invite a member of St. Mary's Vocation Committee to come forward. Good morning. My name is Brian Holland. This is my lovely wife, Heidi. You usually get the pleasure of hearing her play the organ. We are members of the newly formed St. Mary Parish Vocation Committee. This committee was formed at the request of Bishop Rice, who wants a vocation committee in every parish in our diocese. Our task is to promote vocations to the priesthood, religious life, holy marriage, and holy single life. In the coming months, we ask that you assist us first and always in prayer, and later by participating in the activities that you'll see in the bulletin, school and parish events. This is a long-term mission to build up strong, holy families that produce holy vocations.
All vocations begin in the family. This week we celebrated the feast day of Saints Anne and Joachim on July 26th. These saints are the parents of Mary and the grandparents of Jesus. They are the patron saints of a happy, fruitful, and holy marriage. There is a pious tradition in the church that tells their story. Like Mary, Saints Anne and Joachim were foretold of the birth of their child by the announcement of an angel. They welcomed the news and dedicated their daughter Mary to God, who kept her from sin and evil. They are a great example of married couples who live their lives of faith as an example to their children and grandchildren, and to encourage vocations to the priesthood and religious life if one of their children are called to that path of holiness. At this time, we ask married couples to please stand for a blessing.
Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, you have so exalted the unbreakable bond of marriage that it has become the sacramental sign of your Son's union with the Church as his spouse. Look with favor on these couples whom you have reunited in marriage as they ask for your help and the protection of the Virgin Mary. They pray that in good times and in bad they will grow in love for each other and they will resolve to be of one heart in the bond of peace. Lord, in their struggles, let them rejoice that you are near to them in their needs, and let them know that you are there to rescue them. In their joys, let them see that you are the source and completion of every happiness. This we ask through Christ our Lord. May Almighty God bless all of our married couples, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let's congratulate all of our married couples. Immediately following Mass, for those that are expecting, we have a special blessing that we do on the last Sunday of the month, the blessing of children in the womb and their mothers and their family also. So if you are willing to, or if you would like to partake in that blessing after Mass, I will be coming back up forward after greeting everyone, and then we will do that blessing. So you're welcome to remain in the church. Please stand. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go forth. The Mass is ended.
Thanks be to God.